All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. When you get there, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. We've been hearing and singing about a name. And it's interesting that as I look around, everybody here's got one, right? So let's have a little exercise. On the count of three, I want you to just say your name. You ready? One, two, three. Joe. Wow. Let's try that one more time, all right? One, two, three, Joe. All right, good. Now, as we think about it, most of our names are not really unique, right? I mean, there are lots of Jims around, right? There are lots of Joes around. There are lots of different people with lots of different names. But the name we're going to talk about today in our text tells us that there's a name that is above every name. It's a name that causes the citizens of heaven to shout and the citizens of hell to cringe. They do not want to hear the name of Jesus. It's a name that brings help to the helpless, peace to the tormented, hope to the restless, comfort to the comfortless. Folks, that name has cooled fevered brows. It has broken the chains of sin. It has delivered the captive. It has thrilled the saints. And the one who bears that name has been called everything from Adam to wonderful. A to Z. He covers the entire alphabet. Of course, the name I'm referring to, can we all say it together?
Jesus,
right? You know, in the history of the world, many have left their mark. And we think about them, and sometimes we remember, sometimes we don't. But no one has made as an indelible impression as that humble Jewish man from the town of Bethlehem. Had he been an ordinary man, probably the world wouldn't even remember him after he died. But he was no ordinary man.
Amen.
Who he was and what he did forever altered human history and changed eternity for countless millions of people. So I want to look at that glorious name this morning. We come to a passage of Scripture that I think is one of the greatest paragraphs recorded in the Bible. Paul tells us about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not from the Gospels. That's the human side of the incarnation. This is from the heavenly side. And that word incarnation really means the divine becomes human. That's what it's all about. The eternal God, man, and Savior of all of humanity. Of all those who've ever lived, none has impacted the entire human race like this man. He's the central figure of all time and eternity. He's the focus of more books and songs and poems and literary works than anyone else in history.
Amen.
And even though many continue to reject him as the only begotten Son of God, his impact on humanity can't be denied. There's no way to deny it. And I'm thankful that I met him as a younger man. I'm thankful that I submitted to him by faith and that he saved me. But you know, there's so many people today who absolutely refuse to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Dr. Adrian Rogers once said, to explain him is impossible. To ignore him is disastrous. To reject him is fatal. My speech is too limited to describe him. My mind is too small to comprehend him. My heart is inadequate to fully contain the one whose name is Jesus. Jesus Christ was a man who was also God. But you know, our Jewish friends will say, wait a minute, no, no, that can't be, because Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Well, that's true. But the Bible also teaches that Jesus is God too. John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, God exists eternally as three distinct persons. But they're not separate. There's God the Father, there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit. And everything that we know of Jesus comes from the inerrant, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say, comes from the inerrant, infallible Word of the living God. Everything must begin with the Bible because it's God's revelation to us. Now, if you remember last week in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we talked about what Paul said was the thing that would give us the most joy. And what he says was Jesus first, others second, self last, right? And when we do those things, we're going to be full of joy. And now here in verse 5, Paul kind of shifts his focus from our mind to Christ's mind. So look at verse 5, chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, folks, the core of Christianity is a belief that God came to earth as a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. It's a belief that Jesus has two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. You say, Pastor, why is it so important that this man named Jesus also be fully God? Why is that so important? Well, if Jesus wasn't God, we can't know God personally. If Jesus wasn't God, then we can't come to God in a relationship. If Jesus is not God, then we can't live with God eternally. That's why Jesus came to be God with us. Wow, that's the single greatest mind-blowing element in all of the Bible. It's not that Jesus was God, but that Jesus as God became a human being. No other religious tradition, no other religious faith besides Christianity has ever considered that their God would become a human being and be essential to their belief and their understanding of God. No other religion preaches that. And here's the key takeaway. God came as a human being so human beings could come to God. Wow! Jesus as God came to us that we might see God. So Paul pulls back the curtains of eternity and shows us what took place in eternity past before Jesus was even born. Look at verse 6. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. That Greek word form literally means equal in size and quality and character, number. In other words, it's the same. Paul's letting us know right up front, in every way that we could possibly imagine, that Jesus was and is equal with God. They say, why are you saying all this, Pastor? Well, that's the way we believe. You need to hear it over and over again. You just got to keep hearing it. That's what Peter said. I know you know these things, but I'm going to keep telling you. We need to hear it over and over again. Those who heard him knew that Jesus claimed to be God. John chapter 5, verse 18, Jesus said, for this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. You see, Jesus is the exact representation of God. When we see God, we're looking at Jesus. That's who we're looking at. Now look at verse 7. It says, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, he humbled himself. Oh, goodness. Now, when Paul talks about Jesus emptying himself, he's not talking about the fact that he ceased to be God. That's not what he's talking about there. He didn't lay aside his deity. He took up humanity. Let me put it to you in mathematical terms. You ready? All of you mathematicians out there. You know, 1 + 1 = 4. Right? Okay. All right. So when Jesus became a man, there was no substitution. He remained completely and totally God in every respect. There was never a time when Jesus was a man but not God. So there was no subtraction. On the other hand, there was no division. Jesus didn't give up his deity to make room for his humanity. When Jesus became a man, there was no subtraction, there was no division, there was addition. In addition to being God, he took upon himself a human nature and became just like us. And from the moment he was born, he remained both God and man, two natures, one person. You realize when we get to heaven, the only man-made things in heaven will be the scars on the Lord Jesus. That's the only thing. Jesus was fully human, but he was also fully divine. But that raises a really huge question, folks. Why would God the Son take on human flesh? Why would he add humanity to his divine nature? Why is it so important that he become one with the people that he created? Why was it so vital that he become Emmanuel, which is being translated as God with us? Well, look at verse 8. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God not only came to earth as a man so he could live with us, God came to earth as a man so he could die for us. Jesus was God for us, who came to be God with us, that he may be God in us. Jesus didn't become a man so he could live. He became a man so he could die. He had to die as a perfect man so that he could pay the sins for every other man and woman who's not perfect. And by the way, that's all of us. All right? From the time that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God, as a holy, righteous God, demanded that sin be paid for. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 says, "The soul that sins will die." The problem is we can't pay for our own sins because we're sinners. That's what Romans 3:23 says. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So God the Son voluntarily took on the form of a human being so that as one of us, he could pay for us and redeem us with his sacrifice that would take care of our redemption. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." Wow. Now that Jesus, being God, has taken care of our problem, we can have a relationship with him. You see, he died an official death as God's substitute. He died a judicial death to satisfy the judgment of God. And he died a sacrificial death to pay for the sins that we committed. And he did it all so we could see God. Unfortunately, there are so many Christians and churches today that leave Jesus hanging on the cross. Folks, that's not the end of the story. We don't have a dead cross, our dead Savior. We have a living Lord. Amen. Jesus, as God, came that we might see him. He died so that we might seek him. And he reigns so that we might serve him. Look at verse 9. "For this reason also God highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth." Folks, everybody is going to accept him as Lord. Everybody. He came as a man so we could relate to him. He died as a Savior so he could redeem us. He was raised from the dead as Lord so that he might rule over us. And Paul said everybody is going to accept his lordship. I know that's going to be a sight to behold, isn't it? Be able to see that every knee will bow, either by choice or by force. They're going to bow. Every knee in heaven above, on earth below, whether believer or unbeliever, they're going to bow. The devil and all of his demons are going to bow. And everyone is going to accept his lordship. But they're also going to acknowledge his lordship. Look at verse 11. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Folks, every pagan tongue, every atheist tongue, every Buddhist tongue, every Muslim tongue, every humanist tongue, every demonic tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God.
Amen. Amen.
So that's wonderful, Pastor. Praise the Lord. What's that got to do with me? Listen, since Jesus Christ really is God, then there are two things that he showed us how to do the way God wants us to do them. Right? Number one, he showed us how to live. And secondly, he showed us how to love. Folks, we don't have to wonder how God would treat other people. We know. Right? Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. We don't have to wonder how God would handle bitterness or anger or jealousy. We know. Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you.
Amen.
Folks, we don't have to wonder how God would love other people. We know. Let's quote it together, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And because Jesus is God with us, we, with his power, can imitate his life, and we can imitate his love.
Amen.
So how powerful is the name of Jesus? How powerful? Lives have been altered. Fevered brows have been cooled. Blinded eyes have been opened. Deaf ears have been unstopped. The defeat has been swallowed up in victory. Hope for the hopeless. Death have come to life. The lost have been found. Devils have trembled, and the saints have been shouting. Angels have bowed. Wow! More has been done through the power of that name than all of the names of all of the people in all of the world forever.
Amen.
That name changed my life.
Yeah.
That name opened my eyes, and it saved my soul.
Amen.
Boy, there's just something about that name.
Amen.
So we need to praise his name that he came to this world, was born without sin, lived without sin, and died for sin. I thank God he rose from the dead and ascended back to heaven for our redemption. So I guess the question comes, do you know him? Have you been before him lately just to love up on him? Thank him for who he is and what he has done in your life? You know, wouldn't it be good if we could just give the Lord the greatest gift we ever can give? And that's ourselves. Maybe you'd like to come today and bow here and thank him for all he has done. Maybe renew your commitment to the Lord. I don't know what the Lord's speaking to your heart about, but whatever it is, folks, we need to do it now. Now's the time. We can't put it off. Because as soon as we walk out of this door, the devil's going to get in our heads. So what we need to do now. We need to thank him. Because folks, there really is nobody like Jesus.
Amen.
No one. So let's honor him like we believe that's true. Amen?
Amen?
Father, we're so thankful for your goodness. We thank you for the fact that you are our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming King. And I pray that you would guide each one of us. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and then may we be may we respond. We're so thankful for your goodness. Guide us in all that we do. We praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.